You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 79. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Milford, twice certified life coach with an advanced certification in post-traumatic growth and grief. I'm also a target parent. Using proven concepts based heavily in neuroscience and psychology, I developed my own playbook for reintegrating with life and reframing my role as my daughter's mother, even while living apart. I went from feeling agonized, helpless, and directionless to feeling energized, confident, and most importantly, at peace. Today, I get to help other parents like you to do the same. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, before I begin, I just want to let you know that, again, Friday Facebook Live will be at noon Eastern Daylight Time. And what I'm doing in there, what I've been doing the last couple of weeks is basically diving a little bit deeper on the newest episode. So this Friday, for instance, we'll be going a little bit deeper into how you can break the ties that are causing you to self-sabotage from the trauma that you may have experienced either in childhood or as a result of this thing called alienation that we are dealing with. So that's what we'll discuss in the Facebook Live on Friday, just a little bit more in depth than what we do today, and give you a chance to ask any questions about that. Also, at the end, you'll hear that I do announce an event on April 27th. I guess I'm just announcing it now. April 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Okay, so there'll be a sign up for that, and you can hear the rest of the details there. Okay, so April 27th, 1 p.m., and this Friday at noon. Hello, my friends. How are we doing today? Today, I thought we would talk about how the trauma that we hold on to causes you to self-sabotage. I do my best thinking, some of my best thinking in the shower. And I was thinking the other day about how I used to spend that time to think back about my past and sort of, I guess, wallow whatever problems I had going on at the time. I think I was searching for answers, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I think we all go through that in our quest to heal the trauma and change the patterns and what have you. But in doing so, I got in this cycle of blaming my parents, my mom for certain things, blaming my dad for certain things, what they did or didn't do, my brother for a big portion of it, which I will go into in a little bit. It ended up being, I didn't recognize it back then, but it ended up being more of a quest to find a culprit, you know, the perpetrator who fucked my life up, and less about any sort of self-discovery. Like, my intention was that, the self-discovery, but I would get caught up, and it perpetuated this sense of stuckness and this sense of, why didn't I have a better upbringing? Or if only I had a better upbringing. So I mention that right now because that is not what I'm looking to do today for you. My intention is to open up the conversation for you in a way that provides you with a little bit more direction. Some of the stuff that I'm going to mention could be a review, and it could seem like, yeah, duh, I already know that. But I know that also the reminders and maybe the way that I explain it might be a little bit different because I'll be relating it to our situations of alienation and also just some of the common things that we might have gone through as children. So just bear with me if some of the stuff is just in your mind like common knowledge. Because I just, like I said, it's more of a casual conversation about not so casual events that might have happened in, at least in my past, and maybe yours too. I will say that I do plan on, I don't know how much of it's going to come out, how much I'm going to edit out, but I'm planning on using an example from when I was a child and there was some sexual abuse. Am I going to get graphic? Absolutely not. But I just want to let you know that the example will be there. And so if you consider that sort of content, I really dislike the word triggering because I feel that it's not a very empowering word. But if you feel that you're not ready to go there, then maybe skip this one and go to the next one or go to the last one, you know, if you haven't heard any of the older episodes. So I just wanted to give you that heads up before I begin. All right. So like I said, the goal is to open up the conversation and maybe just come at it and present it in a little bit different way, because this isn't on the forefront of our mind when we're thinking about our healing. Most of us, like I said, I'm assuming that this happens with you too, that like how I would go on this search for why I was the way I was. And then it ended up being this whole blame session. And then I just felt really unhappy with my life, right? I felt like I was living life coming from a deficit. And I would compare myself to those out there that had healthy relationships and what have you. And the reason really this is coming up is because I noticed an old pattern with financially with me come up. And I thought, wow, I know my listeners, at least some of you I know would really benefit, because I'm sure that you also experienced this. So we tend to self-sabotage, I would say 10 times out of 10, unconsciously. I don't think that we ever set out initially to like, I'm going to fuck up my life today. Fuck up the world. It's always because of some sort of fear of the unknown. And so I want to help you to gain some awareness over yourself and with respect to the way that your patterns and the way that self-sabotage might be showing up for you without realizing it. We'll blame ourselves. I used to think, God, I must really hate myself. I just keep doing stuff that's destructive. I used to think that I behaved the way I did because there was something wrong with me. And still to this day, my dad will say things to me. And I think I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this in maybe a couple of the old episodes. But the way that he used to look at me, I think he's coming to more of an understanding. But he used to be like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with my daughter? Why can't she act like a normal person, you know? And it used to cause me to feel really alienated, I guess. You know, before I was ever alienated from my child, I felt wrong, like different, a little bit broken. And now, today, I know I have awareness with it, and I'm not blaming anybody most days. And I'm not living in my past. I don't feel like I'm dredging anything up. I just can make the connection and be like, oh, okay, this is what we can do about it. So I'm going to give you the examples today. And at the end, I'm going to give you what I've done, right? And what I've read that works too. And some suggestions that I've received from mentors and teachers of mine. Okay. So I'm going to start with the financial one first. This came up recently for me because I needed to invest some money into the coaching business, and I needed to buy some new devices. Like I needed to buy the new Mac, and I just needed to spend some money that was long overdue. But because I was in that spending zone, I kept going with it. I was on the TikTok shop a bunch. I mean, I was getting deliveries on the reg, you know, a few times a day. TikTok, Amazon, you name it. I was buying Korean skin products. I was going a little nuts. And I had already told myself, all right, Shelby, knock it off, enough. Now you're just spending out of like a compulsion, right? You've gotten into this habit. So I told myself I was going to slow down. And then I was coming home from somewhere doing errands or whatever. And I went to go pull into my development, and I did like a, and then like a, not a U-turn, but a little side, and went right back out onto the main road and drove myself to this plant nursery that I like to go to when I'm looking for the more exotic type of plants. And on my way, I was like, Shelby, what are you doing? You don't need to do this. You don't need to go and do this. You've already told yourself You don't need to be spending the money right now. You're really at the bare minimum. You've got to pay bills. You haven't paid the bills for the month yet. I had all of these reasons and I was talking some sense into myself. Yet I already knew, I felt that the urge, I was already had the momentum built up. So I didn't in the moment care to stop myself. Like I actually, there was that moment where I could make the decision. Well, there were many of those moments actually leading up to me getting to the nursery. I could have at any point turned myself around, but I didn't, right? Or not brought the stuff up to checkout or whatever. You know what's funny though is, so I went to this, one of the more expensive nurseries, actually from thinking about it now, the most expensive nursery around here, which was entirely out of my way. I was already home and I literally pulled right back out and went over there. And the stuff that I got, I mean, of course, I like it. I've got a little bit of a plant obsession. Maybe, you know, if you watch the episodes, then you see my plants behind me. I'm usually changing them out quite a bit. And then I also, this is just one room, you know, like I've got many, 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 many more. The plants that I, oh yeah, look at my little flowers that I'm propagating. But the, so, but the plants that I bought that day were like nothing special. In fact, some of them really, they were not in tip-top shape, but because I was in the mood, I was there to spend. And so that's what I was going to do from hell or high water. I was there to spend. And so I loaded my stuff up, spent a couple hundred dollars that I should not have spent, and knew very well, got in the car. And I was like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? And I said it, I wasn't beating myself up. But I said it pretty much in the tone that I just said it to you guys. But I had to sit and question it for a moment. And I was like, what exactly is happening here? Why am I doing that to myself? It's self-sabotage, you know? I was choosing in the moments leading up to putting that stuff on the checkout counter, I was choosing long-term suffering, right? However long or, you know, much or little it was, still, in the end, I knew that I was choosing instant gratification over long-term happiness, right? I was choosing to reinforce an old pattern of mine as opposed to reinforcing the more new pattern and the agreement that I made with myself just days before to not spend the money. And I was like, why am I doing this? And the money thing has been something I've been working on for a while. As much as you care to admit it or not, money fuels and affects pretty much every area of our life. Without money, if we don't have money to pay our bills, then we don't have our basic needs being met most of the time. And if it's not your money, maybe somebody else is paying for it. Still, somebody's paying for that. We need money to turn the lights on in the house. We need the money to have the house or the apartment or the roof over your head. We need money to get around, to get to work and whatever. You know, money kind of rules like not only our basic needs, but if our basic needs aren't met, then the way that we show up in our relationships and the way that we show up to the place where we actually make the money to get all this stuff done is affected, right? So it does, money affects. And in my opinion, I know I did a money episode a while back, but in my opinion, money actually isn't ever the enemy. It's the hands in which the money is in. Money just basically makes you more, enables you to be more of who you actually are. That's what I think about. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way before I continued any further, because I think it won't do you justice to think that money is the enemy, because it's not money that's the enemy. It's the way that you're thinking about it. Okay. So I was like, why am I doing this? And then I realized, not when I was married, but when I'm single and I'm providing for myself, the situation of me having barely enough money to get by is familiar. That is very comfortable for me, like comfortable in an uncomfortable way, right? What is not familiar to me is having more than enough money to not worry about it. Me creating on my own and on a for a consistent period of time, creating enough money. I have in the past always sabotaged that. Up until in the last couple years, really, like since I moved to Florida, my pattern has been to only make enough, cultivate enough money and provide enough value in the world to barely make my bills. That's how my brain has operated since, for as long as I can really remember, except for when I was with, you know, my husband, both of them, but in those cases, they were the ones that were the moneymaker. So this was a non-issue. Otherwise, no matter how much money I have made, there have been times in my past where I have made a lot of money and consistently, but I would consistently spend a lot of money. In fact, most of the time, it was more than I was pulling in. So I was acting in the way my brain was taking me to the place that I know so well. And that place, struggling in order to pay the bills, is suffering. It's not in my best interest to do this. But in the moment, it feels so right. Why? Because that's what I know. This is just one example, one way it could show up in your life. I'm gonna be bringing up a couple other ones. So if any of you notice that you're spending more than you're actually making as a result of your desire for instant gratification, then my bet is you're still operating off of an old, more practiced belief than the one that you're trying to intentionally step into. Okay? I'm gonna discuss what to do for all of these in a little bit, but just know that there's nothing wrong with you. This is where I used to be like, God, what's wrong with you? Why do you do this to yourself? Do you just hate yourself? Why can't you just get it together, Shelby? And so, like I said, I just feel like if I'm feeling it, y'all must be too. And because I know that so many of us during alienation, we all wouldn't be here. It's my belief. Maybe I'm wrong here. And if I am, please email me as always, like I say. If this isn't your situation, I would love to know. But it's my belief that we wouldn't be in the situation of alienation had we not had trauma, earlier trauma. We wouldn't have chosen the kind of person and relationship and stayed in it and had babies with this person had we not already had some old patterns that we hadn't yet mended, some dysfunctional situations that were happening earlier. And so I'm hoping that you guys can utilize this, because this is one area that I think our self-esteem is so affected when, obviously, when our children are all of a sudden taken from us. You have people around you that are saying, well, what have they done in order to not have their kids with them? That affects you, and you're already feeling ostracized. And then you feel like you can't function the way that you're wanting to function. Guaranteed, there's some earlier ideas that have stuck with you and are so much more familiar to you that it's not that you don't want what's best for yourself. It's not that you're not capable of carrying out the steps in order to get to your goals. You are capable, but there's just some mental work that you need to do, some steps you need to take in order to keep going, in order to get through this. So traumatization occurs when your internal and external, both your inside and outside resources, are not enough. You're not equipped with enough resources in order to cope with an external threat. We all of a sudden realize, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't have the tools to handle this. And so we freak out. Our stress response system has no idea what to do. Danger, danger, we're going to die here. Even though you may not actually perceive you're going to die, your nervous system does not understand that. And so trauma occurs in that moment, right? When you feel like you're not supported enough. For the inside, like not having the wherewithal or the mental tools. And also if you don't have like moral support. Getting into the touchy part, when we're children, if the trauma has happened as a direct result of a caretaker, like one of your parents or even a close family member, whether that's adult or maybe an older brother or sister or cousin, whatever, what have you, when it happens in that close proximity as a child whose brain is not developed well enough and you still have to coexist with that person or people in your day-to-day environment, like you rely on them or that environment relies on them in order to keep things status quo. And you are forced into a situation like with your parents where when you feel threatened by that person, but know that you also rely on them for your basic needs, the lines get blurred. And like I said, I know that some of this stuff is probably like, yeah, of course, Shelby, we know that. You guys, most of you guys probably have your PhDs in PTSD related situations and trauma because of what we've gone through with alienation. Most of us have really delved into the reading, right? So I know that a lot of you understand this, but I just want to put it in really easy terms so that we all just set the tone and the foundation for what all the other things I'm going to say. So whoever this imposed threat is, let's say a parent, when you also rely on that person to clothe you and to direct you and to guide you and to feed your belly and all of those things, what can happen there inside in a child's mind? This is really sad. And it also, of course, that makes me think about our children, you know? So I'm not going to stay on this for very long, but what can happen is the lines or the understanding of love and perceived threat and danger get crossed and confused. If this happened with you where there was some sort of abuse, perceived threat, I want to keep saying perceived threat because so many of us out there, me included, I didn't consider what happened to me as abuse. No, I wasn't abused. I mean, all of the kids back in our days, this happened. But if you were ever in a position where you felt threatened or not sure of whether you were in good standing with a parent, with a brother, sister, whatever, if you felt like you were walking on eggshells, then the chances are that this might have affected the way that you showed up in relationships going forward. Because when you feel like you need to, as a child, the threat comes on, let's say it's verbal abuse, just for this example, the threat comes on, your parent is berating you and belittling you and what's wrong with you and blah, blah, blah. Kind of a little bit on the mild side, how my dad did that. Like, God, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just function like a normal person? That's basically what he said to me. And that really affected me because then I took on that opinion, right? Like, why can't I function as a normal person? So it did affect the way that I saw myself, right? But if you're scared of that person, because you also really crave their love and affection, you have to figure out how to turn that person from that yelling phase or physical phase or whatever it is. You have to figure out how you can get back into where they're loving you again, because they are your source for all of it. This is the only way that you received love and safety, security. So then it would make sense that you would go into your relationships going forward in teenage and whatever years. It's not just like the relationship that you saw between mom and dad, right? Although that could very well play a part in it, but also the relationships that you had as a child. Maybe it was a brother or sister or a cousin or something. When you see everybody else treating them as they are respected and to be respected, you question your own perception of what danger is, of what's good for you, what's not good for you, right? Because you see everybody else acting normally to them. So you're like, well, maybe this is normal. Maybe it's me. And so then when you go into high school and whatever, you associate, because your earliest associations were threat and love from the same source, then all of the following ones, even if the relationships look different from the outside, you're going towards that familiarity of the threat and the love coming from the same source. Maybe it wasn't threat. Maybe it was fear. Maybe if somebody like did a lot of insulting to you when you were young, you could never do anything right. Well, that's what you're going to look for. And you're going to associate with love moving forward in all your relationships. This is also why, like, let's say you were married a first time. You were like, that was an abusive relationship. I'm never doing that again. Or maybe you saw your mom and dad fight a lot and you're like, I am never, ever, ever going to choose an abusive person. And you go on and maybe you don't choose somebody that physically abuses you the way that you saw as a child. You don't go for the actions, but rather you choose familiarity over what you know might be best for you because of the feeling that you had back then. You don't realize that you're doing this, but if you are so used to feeling not secure, not safe, not tended to as a child, then choosing that and thinking that is normal in adulthood even if done on a more subdued level, the chances are very high that you're going to do that. And that's why, like for me, I chose Bad Boys, you know, because that to me was very familiar. And the people that functioned well and normally, quote unquote, normally in relationships, those people seemed really weird. You ever, like, I can picture back in the day, you know, as a like a teenager, 16 years old or whatever, being in a car with a guy that I could have dated, right? And great looking, like captain of the football team sort of guy. He came from a very functional family. And to me, it felt very awkward. I felt like we were missing on all levels. Like I couldn't land anything. There was no comfortability there, you know? And so then I would always veer right back to the Bad Boys. And that to me, I was like, oh, this is like an old glove. This is comfortable, you know? This is fine. Back to what I was saying is that the effects of childhood trauma can affect us, not just, of course, in the financial area and, you know, our interpersonal or romantic relationships, but of course, it alters our self-perception, right? Our self-esteem and what we are capable of moving forward. We find it difficult to visualize and plan for our future. And this is really what I wanted to talk. That's what I'm getting at today. Maybe in school, you didn't ever even consider trying hard. Maybe like you took school as kind of like, la-di-da, whatever, what's really the point here? You know, it was not even really a consideration in your mind that you needed to do well. This is how I was anyway. I went through school kind of like the class clown. I'd skip class. I didn't really consider consequences. I now know it's because of the earliest trauma and then subsequent. Quickly, to give context to what I was just saying right there, is that my brother was 4.5, 5 years older than me. He was my mom's son and not my dad's son. And he abused me one time that I can remember sexually. So I'm going to leave it at that. But I will say that there was a marked change in the way that I viewed myself moving forward. If I look back at pictures, it's a very clear distinction between little girl and angry kid, tomboy. I cut all of my hair off, and I remember saying to my mom, "Mom, I need to cut my hair." "Oh, did you want a bob or whatever?" "No, I want it just like a boy. I want my hair just like a boy." That's what I did. I have pictures of it, you know, and I stood to the side in all the pictures, my, you know, like Girl Scouts and Brownies and whatever else. You always saw me like over on the side with kind of an angry face. And like many children, I didn't remember it. I blocked it out, I believe, from right after it happened. I did not ever speak about it. I did not talk about it or anything until it finally came up for me pretty early. Most kids, or many kids, I should say, if they're sexually abused young by somebody in their family, they don't remember it until well into adulthood, if they ever do. It's amazing what the body does for us, the central nervous system and the body. It protects us in that way and sort of locks up, doesn't provide access to those memories from that time period, not just that event, but a lot of times we will block out years, chunks of time. And so what happens is it stunts the brain's ability to mentally time travel, whether that's going backward, recalling old events, or forward, which I'm going to visit in a minute. Okay, so that explains why I didn't give a shit about school. It wasn't even consideration. I was like, whatever, who cares? And it wasn't in a bad attitude way. I was just like, okay. I didn't have the ability to visualize what my life would look like after really the current day, right? I think I've shared with you guys probably more than a few times that I did not ever dream. I didn't have goals, aspirations. I didn't have the ability to picture my life past the current day that I was living ever. And so I'm going to just step out on a limb and assume that there are others of you listening that have experienced something similar to one degree or another. if you do have any sort of trauma from your childhood. And I, again, used to think that there was something like wrong with me because I would look at my friends in middle school, high school, whatever, and I saw them caring about their grades, caring about what they got on their SATs, caring. Now, I did pretty well on my SATs, actually, but I only took it after I didn't even show up for the SATs in high school. I took them like after in like the summer. Because to me, it was like pointless. Like I just didn't understand. I couldn't even grasp the concept of going to college. I, in fact, didn't go to college after high school. I waited and then visited friends at their colleges and then was like, oh, this is what life could be like. Oh, okay. I want to do this. And so then I had to backtrack and go and fix the grades and all the things. And then I could go to school. So it really affected me in a very big way, but I never knew why until the last 5 years or so. So anyway, that experience of my brother doing what he did back then, I don't blame him. Today, he's already passed away. So, but I did for a very long time. In fact, I didn't resolve this while he was living on the surf. I'm still resolving it in my head, but I didn't speak to him for long. Anyway, it's been an ongoing thing. But that incident from back then affected so much of the way I showed up in the world afterwards. And so, yeah, I still do have some anger about that. But I also trust that and know that, as Jeff said to you guys before, that suffering has happened and will continue to happen for as long as there are people on this earth. So who am I to feel entitled to be the one that doesn't suffer? We all suffer in our own ways. It's what we do with it. And I know that if I can help even just one of you through whatever you might be suffering with, not just with alienation, but with sharing this today, then it's worth it. You know, the suffering I went through and all the way through, it's worth it if I can help others that are also going through it. So anyway, I digress. The abuse as a child and then subsequent things that happened, other traumas that happened along the way, of course, affected the way that I showed up. And because I was not conscious, like I started in survival mode from the second that that happened and sort of operated on that moving forward in my life, I didn't possess the ability to dream, to forward plan, to visualize myself going to college, for instance, having a whatever job that I wanted to have. It never occurred to me to actually think about what kinds of jobs out there in the workforce. I still think about this all the time, like different jobs that you hear people have, like different, you know, scientist jobs, because I love, like, I would have been a great scientist, I think, but different jobs that I hear about that I never knew were possible for me, ever knew that that could have been a possibility. I think about that all the time now, like, oh, wow. There were so many things, so many areas of my life that I didn't explore. Today I am, but only after realizing that it wasn't me that was broken or something was wrong with me. I thought that the reason I couldn't, when I was in the shower thinking about looking back to my past, why can't I keep money in my bank account? Why can't I learn from these relationships and start picking and being attracted to better people? Back when I was having the struggles with drinking, with my habits, why can't I just learn from my mistakes? This is another one of the side effects of carrying unresolved childhood trauma, is not being able to learn from the mistakes in order to change the habits, change your patterns, and start making choices that actually benefit you. Because of the feeling of familiarity that these quote unquote bad choices provide for you. So other ways it can show up, I didn't finish reading that the list off, but other ways it can show up are failure to protect and nurture your own self. We do a very good job, many of us anyway, do a very good job at nurturing and protecting others, people pleasing. And also if we weren't parented, we want to provide that to somebody else in the best way, to prove to ourselves that we are capable and blah, 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 all the things. But notice how when you are protecting and nurturing somebody else, that you are very hands-on and in the moment. And it's not often in the planning way that you would have to do for your own life and like visualizing what life could be like for you. Like when I wanted to get pregnant, back then I just wanted to get pregnant. I didn't really know or think much ahead about what motherhood was going to be really like, other than I would have a little child that I could love on and nurture and care for, right? But I didn't picture life after, you know what I'm saying? All right, so it alters your self-perception, your own view of yourself. It hinders your ability to visualize and plan your future. It could possibly affect your motivation to pursue an education or do well in school. Also hinders your ability to cultivate healthy relationships, romantic relationships and otherwise, because your view and your feeling, the feeling that you had as a child, is the one that your body will steer you towards. Remember, your subconscious runs you 90% of the time, maybe even higher than that. So not only are you sort of tethered to the feeling, that familiar feeling from the past, but also, even though you know in your head that it's not right, like this isn't what you want for yourself, it can also make that familiar feeling feel safe and nurturing. Like even though that source is sending you mixed signals, like maybe a new relationship that you are pursuing. This happened with me with the second guy, where he was being so loving and overly, you know, this is how narcissists, a lot of narcissists behave, that black and white, like they can be super loving, you know, the Christmases, and they come on strong and love bombing you. And then all of a sudden you see the hints, you see the clues that like, whoa, that was a big fucking flashing red flag. You see it, but that activation of the two send you right back into that familiar territory from when you were a kid without even realizing it. And you're like, oh shit, I know this. I know how to handle this. And it actually begins to feel, even though you are anxiety ridden and in your full trauma response at times, you still feel safe there in a very unsafe situation many times. What do they say? Neurons that fire together, wire together. So basically, if you experience the love and the threat as a child, those two responses and emotions in your head became wired, put together. And so now, anytime that you feel love, you expect threat to be not far after. And like I said, this affects all the areas of your life. So it doesn't just have to be that it was the two examples that I provided to you today, that you're constantly spending much more than you have, or that because of any sexual or whatever kind of abuse that happened as a young child, that you chose crappy partners moving forward. It can show up maybe like with that, some of the habits that you've chosen. You've listened to any of the habits episodes that I did, those three episodes, then you know that I kind of beat this into you, that I don't believe that everybody that has adverse effects as a result of drinking is an alcoholic per se. I don't. I really believe that like the Oprah days in the back in the mid 80s, late 80s, early 90s, we got that societally drilled into our head that if you have had any adverse effects and made poor decisions while drinking alcohol, then that makes you an alcoholic. If you had an alcoholic father, then you are destined to be an alcoholic growing up into adulthood. I do not subscribe to that at all. I do believe, though, that earlier trauma that we have experienced will absolutely inform our choices into adulthood, and we will continue to choose what's familiar for us if we don't gain the knowledge, the understanding, and we don't recognize what is actually happening inside of us. And that is what I really think is so powerful about things that we feel are out of our control. Right? Like we feel like our drinking or some sort of habit, we've lost control of it. It has everything to do with the perfect, I believe, the perfect recipe or the perfect storm of every human has a reward. Every animal, I guess, has a reward system set up inside of them. The motivational triad, as you hear me say all the time, is to seek pleasure, avoid pain, be efficient, right? And so we have this survival system running inside of us and also looking, seeking for pleasure, getting the reward, getting the dopamine hit, and repeating and reinforcing that cycle. This is ingrained in you. It's in your DNA. And so that, coupled with any sort of trauma before that has affected the way that you've seen yourself or had an inability to advocate for yourself effectively moving forward, this is why. All right. So finally, to the part that helps, to the part that you can use moving forward. So if any of this has happened for you, if you've noticed that you've had patterns, you've got a goal for yourself, or you really want to start visualizing what your future could look like, and you feel so stuck and blocked from it, I've told you many times that I couldn't even try to visualize a life not only without my daughter in it. So many of us as alienated parents go through this, and the trauma that we've experienced from alienation alone, we don't even need the childhood trauma, right? With this ongoing complicated grief that we experience from losing out on precious time, valuable time with our children, this really is enough to be like, I can't even try to see a future. You know, I don't know what my life could even possibly look like without my child or children in it. So I get that 100%. We don't need anything else to explain anything. This is enough. But if you've noticed too that maybe you're sitting in your shower and you are wanting to know why you are the way you are, or why you've been making the same decisions over and over, even though you know that those decisions have really only hurt you more than they've helped you, then I just want you to know, one, as I stated in the beginning, there is nothing wrong with you. You are not broken. You are not faulty. It's not that you're stubborn or resistant. It can be fixed. This is just going to take patience on your part, understanding, and the willingness to acknowledge and recognize that this might be going on with you. At least consider that it could be an option for you. Okay? It makes sense that you would not think about, or that the future doesn't seem like so tangible to you, or it just seems so vague, blocked off for you. So of course you're not acting from your future self and choosing long-term happiness over instant gratification. Of course, that makes perfect sense. You can't even conceptualize it. It doesn't make sense to you. Right now in your mind, it's like, I just need to get through today. I just need to make the rent for this month. You're still in that survival mode. Right now, your mind says, I can't handle that. So there are a lot of factors that could play into this, but just know that how your body is responding, your brain is braining perfectly. It's doing exactly how it thinks it needs to do in order to protect you, in order to equip you best. Okay? Sometimes we think that we are too far gone, or we fucked up too much. The situation is just so far out of control that there is no hope for us. And so we continue. The brain is like, don't allow yourself to dream or think about possibilities that are out of your reach. So it wants to limit your horizons, right? It wants to dull that for you so as to try to avoid any emotional pain or suffering going forward. But really what it's doing is actually the opposite of that for you. And once you understand the why that's happening, then you can move through it with that response to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. This is just what's happening right now because I'm trying to protect myself, but I know that the actions that my brain is taking is based on stuff that has happened in my past. And if I continue to act or allow my brain, the emotional part of my brain, to direct my steps based off of what has happened in my past, I'm only going to keep recreating what has happened in my past. I'm only going to keep myself at that cap. You're like at this wall and you feel like you just can't keep moving. You can't see what's in front of you. And all you keep doing is replaying what's happened in your past. You've been stuck in that survival brain. I kind of liken it to, and with humor the other day, was thinking about this with me and my spending. It reminds me of somebody that has been like in the system for their lives. They went to jail once for some stupid mistake that they made, or maybe because of generational trauma. So they made this one mistake and they could have gotten out cleared up their life. But because of them looking into their past, they keep getting in trouble and keep screwing up. And then once they've been in the system for so long, what becomes familiar and safe for them, just like I was talking about earlier, this is where I can stay out of trouble. Let me just stay here in jail. It's that, fuck it. I'd rather be here. I have a roof over my head in jail. The person that's been jailed over and over again lacks the strength to turn it around, and they're too far in the system. They've gone too far back, right? And so then the rest of their life, they just keep getting arrested over and over and over again. And I, on a side note, I just think it's really sad. Like, I see the way that some of the people, unfortunately, when I spent my few times in jail, I saw the way that the staff or the prison guard, whatever they're called there, the guards and the cops that were always bringing these people into jail, they just treated them as like, oh yeah, they're back again. Oh, we'll see you next time. I would hear them say that. We'll see you next time, talking to like the regulars in jail. They said it in a way that subliminally sticks with those people. And of course they're going to come back because they're expected back, right? That's sort of how we do with our own lives. Oh, we know we're going to do it again. When I was driving to the nursery, that's exactly what it did. I was like, oh, well, I know I'm going to do it already. So let's just give into it and let's go spend the money. Even though there was plenty of chances, opportunities for me to not. So in the end, if I continue on that path of spending money over the amount that I make, then I'm going to remain tethered to poverty. I'm going to remain tethered to the stories of my past. And for you, the same. If you continue to believe that it's expected of you, that this is what you know, and so this is what you're going to keep doing, you will keep creating the same thing, and you will remain tethered to the stories of your past. You're just recreating, not even reimagining them, just reliving the same thing over and over. Okay, I keep getting like off on tangents, but the way that you can move past this is one, like I said, the recognizing, acknowledging what is happening. Then there's a couple ways to do this. So one of the ways that I hear about all the time, and I haven't yet done this, and I'll tell you why in a second, but is to put a picture of a future version of you. You know, like the photo apps that age you, or like on TikTok, they have those templates that will age you however many years. And I know this sounds super depressing to do, but there's a method to this. You can hang somewhere, even if it's in your house. If you don't want to use the background of your phone, that's fine. Hang somewhere in your house a photo of you aged, I would say 20 years, but you could go all the way into like your 70s or 80s if you want to. If that's not 20 years away, you could go wherever you want, remarkably ahead of now, so that you could see a difference in you and you see the aged version of you, your eyes looking back at you, and develop a relationship with that version of you. You want to do it in two ways. You want to tell yourself, you know, have you ever heard of doing like the old way of doing this was imagine your funeral. This is a morbid way of doing it, but imagine your funeral in two ways. Tell it in two ways. One, you tell it in a way is if you continue doing the same thing over and over again, and you live the way that you're living, and who would be at your funeral and what they would be saying about you and like the eulogy that was given and all that stuff, right? So you can imagine it going on the same path. You could also imagine it going the direction that you don't want to go, like even further. And then, of course, spend extra time on doing the version up-leveled ideal future you. I do think that this is a very, very helpful exercise. Develop a relationship with who you want to become. Write what life might be like for you. If you start living the way you want to live, if you can't picture what you want life to be like, look around you and decide who it is in your life, or maybe you don't even know them, that you want to emulate. Pick out qualities. And I know I think I've talked about this with you guys before. Pick out individual qualities from specific people. It doesn't all have to be like, I want to be like them or I want to be like them. Just pick out the qualities that you want, that you love, that you admire in other people, and imagine your life if you had those qualities 20 years from now, or, you know, 20, 30, 50 years from now, depending on how old you are, you know, what would you have accomplished? So that's the one way. And then also, I think the up-leveled version of this even more is not just the writing that you do, because sometimes we forget about that. Place a picture, an aged photo of you, on your fridge, on your phone that you see all the time and develop a relationship with that future version of you. This will make your future much more tangible so that you can start developing a relationship with the goals that you now want to attain, that you want to work towards. So that's the first best way. What I'm doing as an extra step to that, and I actually got this from Lewis Howe, which he's got a podcast on YouTube, and I've been watching it for a while now. He always has on like Brene Brown, and he's got like Jordan Peterson, and just he's got pretty darn good guests on the show that he interviews, and it's all been on his search to his own self-betterment. You'd have to go and watch some of his stuff, but I watch his quite frequently and really love most of the guests that he has. I don't agree with all of the things that he preaches, if you will, but I do still always get something out of it. And just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean that I don't like the show. You know what I'm saying? Like I definitely think it's great to listen to all different kinds of opinions, as I've discussed many times with you. So, but one of the things that he talks about with him is that he was actually sexually abused as a kid. And for men, this is a much harder thing it's not something that men sit around and talk about, right? Women are much more apt to open up about this sort of thing. I think it's perceived as a sign of weakness and what have you. But one thing that during his healing journey that one of his, I guess his therapist had him do was to put a picture starting with different points in your life, right? But developing relationship with the past version of you. I understand that some of you won't want to do this because maybe you're not ready to do it, or you don't feel comfortable with going into the past and like sitting wallowing in your past. And I get that. And I don't ever advise on wallowing anywhere, like present, past, future, like wallowing, not helpful. Kind of like me in the shower, wasn't helpful to sit around and blame. But I do believe that that version of me as a child did not necessarily understand. I was very confused about the ways of the world and the ways of me. And so now seeing myself in different phases of my life, and I'm still at a very young age. I'm just after all of this stuff happened. I'm at age 7 right now. And so I have that on my phone, and every day I see it all the time. And I've developed, and I'm starting to, I already did the 4-year-old version of me and the 5-year-old version of me, and the compassion that has grown inside of me for the today me even has been so immense. And it's less about blaming or bad reminders and more about looking in the eyes of this child. That was me, you know, and having that connection and that understanding of who she was and what she was thinking and like going forward, what she could create. It is the most healing practice that I've taken from somebody in a while. So yeah, different times in your life, key moments where you think maybe there was some disconnect with who you are and who you were becoming. I can't recommend this way enough. I've done a lot of the future work. I've never actually created the older version of me yet, but I have done the funeral, you know, in both 3 different ways, actually. And I think that that is very powerful. I think it'll be even more powerful when I get to the future version of me, but I've decided to do it chronologically and start from child. So I'm kind of actually doing this with you if you choose to start this now, because like I said, I'm still in my very early days. I'm in 2nd grade, I think, is where I'm at right now. So that's what you do. Just keep reminding yourself too that the decisions, you are not your decisions. The only limitations that are ever on you are the ones that you create in your brain. Where there's a will, there's a way. Trauma does not have to hold you back at all any longer. You can still be in active grief, which you will be. You know, concerning your child, you will absolutely continue to go through your highs and lows and ins and outs of grief, and also still make decisions and advocate for yourself in the best possible way, in the most up-leveled way possible for you today. You know what I'm saying? Don't allow your grief and the trauma that you've experienced to hold you back, but instead have it propel you forward. All right? Okay, you guys. That was a really really long time for me talking. So I'm gonna have to go back and edit the crap out of it. That was darn near 2 hours of talking. We have to edit out a lot. Okay, guys, listen, I'm gonna have an event coming up the 27th of April. It's going to be a, probably like a 2-hour event webinar. And if you wanted to get coaching, this was your time to do it. You don't have to show your face. And I don't need to show you on camera or in any replays if you prefer not to be. So just know that your privacy will be protected. I will just give you that option in the beginning of the event to specify. April 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. As I mentioned in the beginning of the episode too, Friday, Facebook Live at noon Eastern Time. Okay, see you soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, please make sure to click subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Also, for bite-sized clips and tips, be sure to find me on TikTok or Instagram. See you next week.